Hello, and welcome to Well-Fed Woman Wednesday. I am so happy to be here. Welcome, everyone. Go ahead and, drop where you're coming in from in the chat. And I normally can't see the chat because it moves by too fast, but I want you in the chat to share your biggest win that you have experienced thus far with Healthify. So, who am I? I am Coach Christy. I am a pharmacist. I am a certified life coach, a certified menopause coach, and a functional nutritionist. And I help Corinne write Healthify. So what is Healthify? Not everyone knows about it, and we have new members on here, and that's perfectly fine. Healthify is no BS nutrition course. You can find it on our website, nobswomen.com, under courses, just scroll down and you'll see Healthify. You don't have to do anything but hit play. There's no prerequisite. You just need to hit play and keep going. However, if you are a new member and in your first 90 days, Healthify will be available to you after those first 90 days. We want you concentrating on the No BS weight loss course and the other courses in a certain order so you can best apply Healthify. So don't worry, you're not missing out on anything. It will be available to you in 90 days. So, all right. I want to see some of those wins in the chat. I also want to see some questions coming up. Oh, and right as I said that, some popped up. But go ahead and start loading up the questions. This week, we are going to talk about the plate method, which is very simple. All it is using your hand, and I'll go over that, and then checking for three colors. Super simple, less than a minute to check your plate and kind of adjust stuff, and then putting it all together. But I do want to kind of recap last week about proteins and carbs. I've been seeing people adding, excuse me, not protein and carbs, I mean carbs and fats. I've been seeing people in the Facebook group saying what a difference it's making, saying, I tried some different carbs and this is what happened to me and stuff like that. But I also want you to kind of put in the chat what you noticed differently this week, kind of adding some of those complex carbs back in and stuff like that. Just let people know. And so we can help each other. So we're all in this together. And I want y'all to realize that, 1% level ups will get you there. So let us know in the chats just what's working for you. So maybe someone else can see that. But go ahead. I do want you to start loading up some questions. Whether it's, and you can ask me anything about, because we're kind of to the end of this type of talk with Healthify. So if you have a question all the way back from the beginning or you're just starting, go ahead and put that in there. I will help you work through that. It's not that you can only talk about, the plate method or putting it all together just because we're talking about that today. But so what is the plate method? The plate method is very simple. It is using your hand. We're going to go with a palm size of protein and the thickness. Remember, no skinny piece of bologna and saying that that's enough. We're going to go with a cupped hand of carbohydrates. We are going to go with a fist size, or some people can do two fists worth of vegetables. If you don't eat vegetables, go ahead and fruit and then start leveling up as you can. And then a thumb size portion, just the thumb, of fat. And we're going to look for that on our plate every time. If you cook with, olive oil or something like that, you can include that. That's your fat. So you may not necessarily see it if you cook with it, but that's the same thing. And also, we're going to do one little additional thing. We want to see three colors on the plate. So that may look like chicken, rice, and broccoli. So the chicken is beige, the rice is white, the broccoli is green. You've got a carb, you've got, say you cook the chicken in olive oil, you got a fat, the chicken is your protein, and the broccoli is your veggie. Perfect. It's very simple. We are not going to make this more difficult just for the sake of being difficult. We are the ones making the rules this time around. We do not have to follow those old diet rules. We can make our own rules and we can make sure that we healthify them. So, that being said, kind of what does this look like on a day-to-day basis? I was looking in Facebook as always and just kind of trying to figure out what it kind of looks like to healthify when, or the spirit of healthify, truthfully, is what I was looking for. And let's say that you had planned to go out to dinner with your friend, and y'all go ahead, start loading up some more questions. I see some, but we are here for an hour, and I want to make sure that I get them all answered because this is the last Wednesday that I will be doing the Ask Me Anything. Excuse me. So go ahead and load me up. But that being said, say you were supposed to go out to dinner with one of your friends. You had said, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to get the grilled chicken salad with strawberries. And you had healthified your meal. And then your friend calls and she's sick and she can't go. And you're like, well, crap, I didn't really grocery shop. Let me see if I can pull something together real quick. And you look and you see like some leftover rice that maybe you had Chinese earlier, and you have some chicken and maybe like a can of mixed vegetables. That's healthified. That is perfectly okay. I don't want you kind of judging your meals because we don't want the judgment on top. But if you can put together a protein, a carb, the fat's gonna normally be in there. The fat's normally not hard to get, and a veggie or fruit, you have a perfectly healthified meal for you. It does not have to look a certain way. You don't have to present it on a perfect plate. None of that stuff. We are just trying to make this doable so we can continue to do this and to make it a habit. This month has all been about kind of learning. And now we're going to start. Some of y'all have already started applying, and now we're going to try to make it into a more of a habit. So, Heidi, I see you have your hand raised, but this is not going to be on this type of call. So, sorry about that. All right, let me get into some of the questions, and y'all go ahead and put more. Anonymous, would you recommend Element? It's LMNT for electrolyte for me if I'm breastfeeding. How does it help with hydration? That I am probably going to defer to your doctor. I will say that just because you're breastfeeding, and I just want to double, I don't want to say one way or the other just because sometimes electrolytes can, I don't want it getting to the baby, basically, if it's too much. But for the normal, just you're either on a GLP-1, you're working out, or you're just trying to get a little bit of hydration. I don't see anything wrong with supplementing with that. In fact, I like that drink. Corinne and Chris both use that. So I don't see anything wrong with it, but just double check because I would have to look it up about the breastfeeding part. Okay. Great question, though. Anonymous, finding Healthify amazing, but I'm so confused about your discussion on supplements. I know you said that we can and should be getting most of the nutrients from food, but you mentioned a lot of different supplements and multivitamins and probiotics and prebiotics. I'm so confused. Can you break it down? What should come from food and what can we get from supplements and which is which? That is a great question because, yes, we have talked a lot about supplements and this, that, and the other. A lot, okay, a supplement to me is just getting something additional that you're not getting from your food. And that's what I've said before. I would love for you to get it from your food. But sometimes in certain situations, like someone had mentioned, they don't eat a lot of dairy and they don't drink a lot of milk and they were trying to get more calcium. So in that respect, if your body doesn't do well with certain types of food that would give you the calcium, then it's fine to supplement. As far as a multivitamin goes, I know until you're eating kind of a wider variety of foods and colors, that's why the three color rule is so important. That's actually where your vitamins are going to come in because each color is actually a different set of vitamins. But if you're like, I only really eat green beans and broccoli, well, that's good. but you may not be getting all the other vitamins. So you would kind of want to try to supplement with a multivitamin. And it's the methylated, I did recommend that because that's the most absorbable. As far as like probiotics and prebiotics, they are not a must. Don't think that you have to do all this and you have to go out and buy every different type of supplement. We're just going to 1% level up. Probiotics and prebiotics you can get from yogurt. If you're eating a Greek yogurt a day or three times a week, that's great. You don't have to supplement. Or if you're eating fermented foods, another one. As I said, 1% level up with fermented foods. Like some people drink kombucha. That's great. Kimchi, sauerkraut, kefir, all those different things you can get from your foods. But until you're able to kind of know which is which or kind of make sure that it works in your body, you can supplement. As far as fiber and fish oil, I did mention all these. I just mentioned these because people were asking about it. I do take some myself. I don't think that there's a problem with taking supplements if you can't either eat that amount of food, say it you're on a GLP-1, or for whatever reason, a certain type of food doesn't agree with your body. I don't see where supplementing is wrong or bad, but I would say hopefully you can get it from your food. I hope that clears it up. You do not have to supplement necessarily anything unless your doctor recommends it. But if you're eating a wider variety of vegetables, different colors, and all that stuff, you're gonna get that stuff naturally. So just know that if you're doing it the healthified ways and you're checking the three colors and stuff like that over the week, you will be getting a lot of vitamins and minerals. All right. I overindulged in wine last night. I thought to myself, well, I bought the bottle, and if I don't finish it, it'll be wasted. So I'm wasting wine and money. Needing some help with some of the thoughts that I can use to ping pong with them to help combat the thinking and becoming more comfortable with pouring out the wine. Okay, so this, with wasting food, wasting wine, wasting anything, what I like to do is I like to look at what finishing it would bring me. So, because the options are wasting it, or well, you can save it for another day, or finishing it. And so, I just like to think back the last time that I did this and I finished. I personally don't drink wine, but the last time I finished, say, a bottle of wine, how did I feel? What were the thoughts that came up about that? And leveling up is another thing about it. Maybe it's not finishing the wine. Maybe it's that you allow yourself three glasses, and just making it doable along the way because we're not all or nothing, any of this. We're just going to 1% level up. And then knowing that you're quote unquote wasting it, I like to just kind of think about my future self. What would it look like if I did pour it out versus what would it look like if I did drink it all? And kind of go from there. And you can even journal about it if it, you're not in the moment, journal about it and go over that type of stuff. Okay. Good question. And a lot of people actually have that question. MJ does a great job, like someone mentioned, about talking about how she kind of cut back on wine. Okay. How do I get sufficient protein for breakfast when I'm allergic to eggs? I am type 2 diabetic and worried oats will raise my blood sugar. Good question. So there is a lot of different ways to get in protein that have nothing to do with eggs. So this may look like Greek yogurt. Cynthia said Greek yogurt. That's a great one. And a lot of the different yogurts don't have that much sugar in it for your diabetes. So that would be a great alternative. And even like Canadian bacon or ham or Corinne likes the protein bagels, or the protein bread. Don't think just because you can't have one source of protein, which is eggs, that it's going to make it difficult for something else. Stay curious about different sources of protein. And you can go back and listen to the protein one. Cottage cheese, Jen says. Yes, I personally love cottage cheese. There's some people that don't. But yeah, The oats may kind of raise your blood sugar. You may be right. You're going to experiment with those. And like we talked about, the overnight oats, you can soak them and make that a resistant starch, and where it doesn't, it acts more like fiber as opposed to, just giving you that quick blood sugar spike and down. So there are so many things that you can experiment with. Lunch meat with on a bagel with cream cheese. I mean, that type stuff. Yes, the bagel is going to kind of, depending on what type it is, I would try to get a complex carb bagel, like a whole wheat or a protein bagel, because I think that that would be better for you with your diabetes. But don't, let's not try to make it difficult. Let's try to find solutions. Like, what, I know I can't eat eggs, but let's see what I can eat and go with that. But I applaud you for trying to get more protein in at breakfast, because that will make a difference. All right, Sarah, what is your favorite food and vegetable, and how do you prepare it? Such a good question. And it kind of, for me, it changes. I don't have necessarily a favorite. I eat broccoli a lot, because I think that it goes with a lot of things. That's just, my personal, opinion, because it can go with different meals. So we eat a good bit of broccoli. I like a lot of mixed vegetables. Recently, I've been eating a lot of tomatoes just because my neighbor brought some. Fruits, I eat an apple a day. If y'all look at my plan, I do eat an apple a day most days. And I love apples and peanut butter. That is one of my go-tos and stuff like that. But other than that, I do have favorites, but they kind of change. But see what your favorite is and see how it works in your body. Jennifer, a period protocol recommendations for any added nutritional needs. Good question. And it's something that I haven't had to worry about for a while, because I had to have a hysterectomy. But I do remember, and I had a hard time with all of that. So I definitely had, that was back before I was in no BS, but I had kind of my way of doing things to make me feel better. For me, that was definitely staying hydrated. I felt better staying hydrated. Also, I would eat foods that were like higher in iron, because a lot of the times when you have heavy periods and stuff like that, and a good bit of bleeding and stuff, you need more iron. So, Corinne's chicken livers, I just, those would be actually great because they're high in iron. But look at some of the other stuff that would be high in iron as well. And just kind of really taking any protocol, in my opinion, is just kind of, again, thinking of your future self and taking care of those needs. That may look like knowing that you're going to be a little more tired, and maybe planning on some meals that you eat out or have delivered in. Or some easier to put together meals. You're still going to healthify. I don't think it's going to change any of that. But staying hydrated is really important. Taking care of yourself, resting when you need rest, not eating when you need rest. Because we all know that food solves hunger, and that's it. So knowing that your body, and knowing that it's cyclical and it's probably going to come back next month, I think it's very smart to have a protocol. And maybe that also looks like, making sure that you do some self-care things. Maybe finding your heating pad, if that's something that helps you, or finding your blanket that warms up. Just taking those extra steps that is taking care of your needs, so you don't have to necessarily turn to food to do that. Good question. Sue, will I get too much of vitamin B if I took methylated multivitamin and a super B vitamin, hold on, and a super B vitamin complex sustained release? So the thing about B vitamins is they are water soluble. Can you get too much vitamin B? You kind of can, but for the most part, you're going to flush those out in your urine. So they don't stick around. Like vitamin D and vitamin E and A, those are all fat soluble vitamins. So those are going to hang out in our body longer. But if you take too much vitamin B, or vitamin C, truthfully, both of those are going to just flush out. And you've probably noticed when you do take B vitamins that they turn your urine a certain color. Even vitamin C can do it. That's just them kind of getting out of your system. I just myself, I don't think you would need both of doing both of those. So I would pick one or the other, whichever one is working best for you. And Maureen, go ahead. I didn't see your question. Sorry. But go ahead and drop it in the Q&A and I'll answer it for you because the chat scrolled by too quickly. But yeah, I wouldn't think that you would need to be on both of those, truthfully. Good question, though. And y'all go ahead and put me some more questions. But I did have a couple of questions that I had been asked that I wanted to go over since this is kind of our last Wednesday together. One asked me, hey, Christy, what if I'm still hungry? You know, I've done the plate method and I've put my protein, I've measured it, and it's on the plate. I've used fat, I've done a cupped handful of carbs, and I have a fistful of veggies, and I've eaten all that, and I truly am still hungry. I've checked in with myself, and I'm really still hungry. It's not me just wanting to finish the plate. That is a good question. And what I would tell you is to add more vegetables or fruits. So that's when I kind of said the two-fist. Go ahead and bulk up with the veggies or the fruits because that's going to give you the most bang for your buck as far as vitamins and stuff go. And then the next thing you can do is add more protein. If you're like, you know, all I want is the other half of the sweet potato, eat the other half of the sweet potato. I'm just saying that check in with yourself and to add more veggies and add more protein and then check in again. So that was a good question that was, you know, kind of asked that I definitely wanted to address. All right. Sarah, can collagen in my coffee count as protein? Easy way to add a few grams in the morning. Good question. Collagen does count as protein. However, it is what we call an incomplete protein. So it's not going to do the exact same thing as, like, say, a pea protein or a whey protein or a rice protein. It doesn't have all of the things in it to make it a true protein source in and of itself. I don't see a problem at all adding it to your coffee. In fact, I've run out of it, but most of the time I put it in my coffee. And it is just a good little boost to get that protein up. So I think that and it's great for our nails and our skin and our joints. So I think that there's no reason you couldn't do that. As just getting a little bit of extra protein, just know that it's not in and of itself, you would want to add more protein to it because it's not a complete protein. Sherry, I've seen several posts on the No BS Facebook page about creatine being helpful with weight loss. Can you tell me what it helps? Yes. Okay. So Corinne has even talked about this as well. Creatine is one of the most studied supplements out there. It's been around a long, long time. And what it does is it helps us to maintain our muscles. For the longest time, creatine was thought to be, oh, that's just for bodybuilders. I'm not going to do that. And then people started realizing, oh, you know what? If I take it, it's easier for me to build and maintain muscle. So they started studying more and more and more about it. And what they noticed is the first 5 grams of the day does help, like with muscle, and especially if you're working out and stuff like that. And then an additional 5 grams, so up to 10 grams, like split up, helps a lot with some brain fog and stuff like that. I don't know exactly the mechanism of how that works, but I know that Corinne does take up to 10 grams a day to help not only maintain the muscle that she's, you know, building, but also with the cognitive benefits. So I would say give it a try. I don't see anything wrong with you trying, like I said, it's very well studied and it's safe. So give it a try and see how it works for you. Maureen, I feel stuck with my weight loss. Any tips to jumpstart with a mindful nurturing approach. Okay. So, Maureen, I'm going to assume that you have been here longer than 90 days. And what I would love for you to do is do the START program, the START course, which you can go to nobswomen.com, go over to courses, scroll down, and you'll see the START course. I think that if you've are that's if you've already taken the No BS weight loss course, and I'm assuming that you've done that. But I think that's a great way to get back to doing the basics and really taking it slow to make sure that you get every single basic down, because that's what's going to help. That jump start is just you getting back to the four basics, and you can actually apply Healthify in anywhere along that is doable for you. Cynthia did mention something real quick about the creatine. You will gain some water weight at first. That is normal. Know that it may jump up, but it will come back down. I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you. But back to Maureen, just doing something. So motivation is going to follow action. So you going in and starting the START course is going to be the action. And then as you do things and as you level up, that is going to give you more and more motivation. You don't have to have motivation, truthfully. You don't have to have that, but just doing something and making sure that it's doable. Again, I'm going to say the level up, the 1% level up is the way to do it. And just start, just do it, and know that making it doable is important, and you just giving yourself that time to do it. Okay. Great question, though. Darlene, I started making my steel cut oats with whey. I make both in the Instapot. How much protein does that really add? Well, that I would have to look at both of those. But the some whey protein, just depending on how it is, it's normally 20 grams to 30 grams per scoop. So you're going to get the great carbs from the steel cut oats. And then just mixing in that whey is just going to be, that added benefit of that extra protein. I would say, see how it works for you. How do you feel 2 hours later? Because you're, again, the only thing I'm asking you to track is how you feel. So check it out. Do it. Make it. I think you did both of them. Make both in the Instapot and see how it works for you. But my guess is by adding that scoop of whey, you're adding anywhere from 10 to 30 grams of protein. Okay. So good job of getting both that carb and that protein. If you mix in some butter, you got your fat, that is healthified. Okay. I feel like I'm in check with water, working on sleep more than 6 hours. Does adding more protein help? What are some healthy afternoon protein snacks to have when I work? Okay. So, does protein help with sleep? Yes. What, how does that, when you are well nourished, your body is just running at a better level than when it's not. So, sleep is when our bodies kind of heal, when we detoxify, when we make hormones, when we do all that stuff, when we repair our muscles and repair everything. So, sleep. That's why it's a four basic, because it's not really optional. I mean, yes, I would love for everyone to be getting 8 hours of sleep, but sometimes that's not plausible. So you're getting more than 6 hours. I think that's a great place to start. Adding more protein will just allow your body to repair those muscles and to do all the things that it has to do at night. So I think that that is a great thing for you. And if you're getting, I'm not saying that you need to eat protein right before bed or anything like that. If you're getting the protein that we talk about using the hand method and the palm and the thickness 3 times a day, you're probably getting enough protein to be able to do that while you're sleeping. As far as the protein snacks to have at work, I now work from home, but I still probably have buy my same type of snacks that I was when I wasn't. I love nuts. I love cottage cheese, even the Greek yogurt. A snack to me, I mean, yes, it's going to have to be portable because you're going to work, but it's going to depend on if you have a refrigerator and stuff like that. But a snack to me is no different. Like, you can snack on any type of food. It's normally the size of the meal that kind of makes it a snack versus a meal, in my opinion. But that may look like an apple with peanut butter. That's easy to take with you. Some cheese and crackers with, if you can, I like turkey pepperoni or ham. That's a good snack. They even make some of those little portable things that have like nuts on one side, and I think it had like nuts and craisins and cheese on the other. Granted, you would have to, that's going to get your carbs, your protein, and your fat. You would have to have refrigerate that. I don't know if you have a refrigerator at work, but stuff like that. And just don't make it like a problem that you're like, oh, I have to make sure that, I have a certain snack that's just a snack food, because any food can be a snack, okay? But good question. I feel like I'm stuck in not making healthy decisions. That was her follow-up. Okay, so I would just, if you're noticing that your decisions are, maybe not as quote unquote healthy as you would call think that they should be or whatever, you're aware of what's going on, and that's the first thing. So now we're just going to start leveling up. So I would ask you, like, what does your snack look like right now? And how can you kind of look at it and make sure that you're getting a protein, a carb, and a fat? That would be a great way to just first start. So say, let's just say your snacks was just eating some animal crackers. Okay. Well, that you've got your carb, but you're missing your protein and you're missing your fat. So just trying to kind of level those up is going to make it a better choice for you, and it's going to fuel your body a lot better as well. If you're taking this I'm assuming you're eating your snack at work, and so you're still going to need to finish out the day, and that's going to provide you more fuel where you don't get home where you're kind of like borderline hangry and trying to decide, oh, well, what can I cook? And just being like, oh, just screw it, let's order pizza. Because if we're making decisions throughout the day that are fueling our bodies and we feel a lot better, when it comes down to dinner, we're not going to be ravenously hungry either. We're going to wait till we're hungry, but we're fueling our brains as well throughout the whole day. We're not restricting those carbs, because remember, that will starve our brains, but it makes it easier to stick with the decisions that you've made when you've been a well-fed woman all day. So I hope that answers your question. It's a good question, and try not to judge your decisions. Just try to level them up, okay? All right. So go ahead and drop some more questions in there, because I have a couple more, but just making sure that everyone gets their questions answered. So, but I had another kind of question that from a member that was like, well, this is a lot like Weight Watchers and portion control. And that was their thought, and I can understand it makes sense why they felt like this, but I want to come back and say that this, you're making the rules. With Healthify, you're deciding what you want to eat. You're deciding really how much. Yes, there's guidelines. We're giving you guidelines with that. But you're the one that is going to determine what you're going to eat, and you're going to make the rules. It's not like the Weight Watchers list that they said, oh, these are 0 points, or oh, these are 2 point foods and stuff like that, where you could pick and choose like that to make sure. So it's not necessarily portion control. The plate method, you do not need anything to measure but just your hand, okay? We are making it almost mathless, if that's a word. You do not have to add any grams together. Yes, there's guidelines, but we're not counting our macros. We're not doing anything like that. We are just looking at our plate. Where's the protein? Where's the carb? Where's the fat? And then where's the three colors? That's the four questions. That's all you have to ask yourself. It is nothing that is difficult. It's nothing that is not doable. You're just going to be asking that question. And let's say you look down and you're like, I don't have any type of vegetable on this plate. Or you look down and you see beige. That's all you see. What is something that you can add to your plate to give it at least one more color in less than 2 minutes? That is healthifying. That, like I mentioned before, Coach MJ had herself some really good sourdough and she had put her chicken on there and seasoned it, and it was looked really good. And she looked down, she's like, well, that's beige on beige. And she put the tomato on top. That is leveling up. It took her less than a minute to cut that tomato, put it on top, and eat it. She's going to get the vitamins from that. It's two colors. Hey, it's 100% better than one. So, just doing that, just noticing, being aware of it, and just doing the next step that, brings it up 1%. All right. Y'all give me some more questions in there as well, because I've gone back through. I have a couple more. But I just want to make sure that everything is answered. And in the chat, y'all go ahead and tell me what was the most surprising thing that you have learned over this month about Healthify. Like, what exactly helped you the most? Because I want to hear about that. And we're spending this time together, and I want to celebrate you as well. I think it is so important when we are building a habit to celebrate along the way, not just when you get to goal. And someone put on there that they're trying to do the three colors more and more. And if you're not to this portion and Healthify, that's no problem. We're just laid it out in a way that made sense to do it this month. So know that if you're not to the plate method yet, you just keep on keeping on the way that you were. You don't have to get there. This is a self-paced course. But I just wanted to kind of go over another thing real quick that I've noticed that people are kind of not really asking about, but kind of just concerned about. They're like, okay, what am I going to do next? Now that June is coming to a close, yes, it flew by. What do I do when Healthify is over? That is a question that, our brains want to ask because we are so used to diet mentality or someone telling us, okay, well, you do it this way. And then, no, you switch it up this way. You keep going. Yes, Darlene, you keep going. So, Healthify is not something that is over in June. Yes, my Ask Me Anything will be over in June, but Healthify is just beginning. Healthify, we've taken this month to learn, we've taken this month to start applying. Now, I want you to take the months coming up for the rest of your life to apply it and make it your new habit. Again, it's going to take those repetitions. You doing it, you looking down, I have two colors. Maybe if you can add the third one, you can. Maybe if not, you keep on going. Living the 80-20, knowing that the 20% belongs there just as much. Learning how much protein really does your body. Sue says, Healthify has made it easier and understandable. Yes, it's nutrition does not have to be difficult. And I think that, of course, the Nobius way is to make it doable. So when we came together to write Healthify, that was the most important thing, as we wanted to make it doable almost no matter what. And I think we did a really good job with that. So no, to answer the question, what do we do when Healthify is over? Healthify never ends. You are going to continue this and you will tweak it probably for the rest of your life, because you're going to start learning to like different vegetables. You're going to start learning to like different proteins. You're going to see, oh, this carbohydrate works really well in my body on these certain days. You're going to learn so much about how your body is nutritionally fed. And that's how you're going to keep on applying Healthify on a day-to-day basis, hopefully for the rest of your life. And one day you'll look down and you'll be like, well, That's exactly got three colors and everything that I need. And I really didn't even have to think that much about it. That's when the new habit is built. I don't think as much about Healthify anymore because I know certain meals are doing it. But it becomes your new habit. It becomes your new way of eating. So Healthify doesn't end. That's the big answer. All right. Let's see. Are you familiar with Jesse and I can't say the last name's theory on eating foods in a certain order to aid with steadying your glucose levels and avoiding spikes and slump? If so, what are your own thoughts on this? I have heard a little bit about, eating like protein first, followed by veggies, followed by carbs, and I don't know if that's exactly what it is. I don't know enough about it. I do know that for the most part, when we eat certain things, it's going to be digested. I do know that sometimes when you eat simple carbs first, they digest very quickly and they raise your blood sugar and raise your insulin pretty quickly. If you were to mix that with a protein and a fat, you're going to get more of a sustained blood sugar. So, I would have to look into it more, but my guess is they're probably wanting you to not eat the carbohydrates first, just because they're saying, hey, we don't want to spike that blood sugar without something to kind of level it off. So, that, like I said, that's just me guessing because I don't know the exact person that you were talking about. I haven't heard that, but I have heard of people eating certain things in certain orders. I would say give it a try. The glucose goddess. Okay. I didn't re okay. I know it as that. Sorry. I didn't know. And I truthfully, I haven't looked a ton into the glucose goddess, but I do think that there's something to it. And me personally, I do try to eat my protein first just because I do want to get that protein in. But see how it works for your body, because no matter if the glucose goddess is telling you to do and eat this first, and then this second, and then this third. Maybe that doesn't work for your body because we are all individuals. So, see, take a week and eat it. Yeah, Darlene says protein forward. Yes, that's exactly what I, or prioritizing protein is what I say. And, but see how it works in your body and see if you feel any different. Some people, they may notice a big difference. Some people may not. So that's actually a great thing to experiment with and just see what it looks like for you. All right. I'm cutting out a lot of added sugar because pre-diabetic, but I'm finding I have no energy. What can I eat to give me more energy when I'm so tired? Okay. So we know that carbs, sugar, simple carbs and all of that provide our brain with a quick boost of energy, okay? It runs on glucose. So it also makes us release serotonin and dopamine and all those feel good stuff. Our brain really loves it. So it makes sense that kind of we may have some of those cravings, especially when we're tired. But you're cutting back on it and your body again, is regulating. I know I probably say this all the time, but it's so true. You've been giving it simple carbs. You've been giving it sugar, and it's like, oh, cool. We like that. That is easy. That is a quick fuel. And now you're cutting it back, and your body's like, hold on, what is going on? So it kind of, and it's going to, for you especially, it's going to your insulin and blood sugar is probably trying to regulate. And when our blood sugar drops, we can get tired. So what can you do about that? I would say you can start with complex carbs and protein are going to be your big energy. When you combine those two, you can put in the simple carbs as well. It's not like they're horrible or anything like that. I do say that's your 20%, but if you mix the complex carbs with the protein, that is going to be your best at sustaining that energy where you're not getting those spikes and falls. And it should fuel your body where you're not as tired. And just double check on that too, that you're getting enough fluid in and that you're hydrated, because sometimes dehydration can mask as hunger. because it knows that, hey, if I tell her she's hungry, she will eat something and there's water in it. There's one thing that I would want you to check is just make sure that you're hydrated. All right. Lee came back and said refrigerated. Don't worry about the typos. I get that, the menopause brain. All right. It's Darlene says, I'm so excited for camp. You went as a member, right? And now as a coach. Yes. I am super excited for camp as well. It is going to be a totally different experience for me coming in as a coach, but it's just magical. If you can get to camp anyway, virtually or in person, I highly recommend that. I'm looking forward to it. We are already kind of doing some behind the scenes work that I'm excited about as well. So yes, I will see you there, Darlene. I'm sorry. I'm so glad you're able to make it. All right. I am 61 and recently started HRT. It's been about 6 years since my last period. When I asked her about lab tests, she told me it wouldn't be worth it because the levels would be zero. How do I know that I'm not just wasting my money nor taking the drugs that I don't need at this point? I do notice a change in the sneezing sensation and needing to pee, the pelvic floor issue, as I sleep better for the most part. Libido isn't great. Is it too late for help with that? How do I find a doctor that is more open, and within my insurance providers? Okay. So this question, HRT does help with a lot of different stuff, and the pelvic floor stuff that you're talking about normally is with vaginal estrogen. And there's a lot of doctors that will prescribe that because some don't consider that. There is a commercially available product for that, and a lot of primary care physicians feel comfortable doing that as opposed to like pellets or capsules or gels and creams for HRT at higher doses. As far as you're talking about, not getting a baseline level or not getting lab work done. Some doctors will not do lab work. They're going to treat you based on your symptoms. Because we talked about that last week. Sometimes it's just a snapshot of what's going on then. But if you want to get that, there are companies outside of like your doctor's office. In fact, some of the doctor's offices actually use the companies that you can send in either saliva or it has a little thing you prick and you do the blood and they can test that, for you. I can't think of one off the top of my head. But I can post that. But yeah, there are different look up different options or just ask your doctor, say, listen, I really do want to get my levels checked. Can you write for those labs? Some doctors will do, like my first doctor, my primary care, she wrote for the lab work and she said, just know that I can't read it though. So that was perfectly fine because I was going to take it to my hormone specialist. She signed me up with a hormone specialist anyway. I will tell you this, a lot of insurance providers will not cover some of the functional medicine and the HRT, the menopause specialists and stuff like that. That is changing though. There's been some new legislation. So hopefully in the years coming, that will all be covered. But I would just highly recommend you going back to your doctor and asking for those labs. And then if they're refusing, maybe it's time to look for someone else, or maybe there's a lot of online doctors now too that will help, and they will send you to the lab to get that work done, and then they report it back to them. So that might be an option as well. But as far as we talked about the pelvic floor, the libido. A lot of that stuff does take time, and libido is a harder one to kind of treat because a lot of it for women is up here and it's not necessarily anything else. So I would say even for me, I've journaled a lot about that, what it looks like, what I want in my sex life, what I want moving forward, how I feel connected and stuff like that. And that actually helped me a lot. Yes, if your testosterone is too low, your sex drive and libido may be lower as well. So that's again something that you can, kind of ask if your doctor can test that as well. So I hope that answers all your questions. Jackie, is it safe to start on HR2 after the age of 60 for the first time? That is another question that's 50-50 split because a lot of the times they will say there's a 10-year window outside of menopause, like when you stopped having your period to treat. Now they're saying, no, you can bump that back in perimenopause. And as so long as you get 10 years, you're covered. There is just, I have yet to see proof that either way is better or worse or whatever. I haven't seen a study that kind of showed exact numbers. And that makes sense though, because hormones are so all over the place for a lot of different people. I will say that there are some contraindications when you're over the age of 60. I would like to have a cardiac workup on your heart. Excuse me. Also, if there's any type of cancer risk or past cancer, and was it, hormone receptor positive and stuff like that, there are still treatments, even if you did have breast cancer that was hormone receptor positive. So know that. But that's going to be something that you, if you take that back to your doctor, get them to explain to you. Don't just say, they're like, oh, well, I don't do that. Well, can you get me to someone else that may and explain? You're going to have to advocate for yourself, okay? But that is a good question. And I see you're in Ireland, so I don't know exactly how it works over there. But here in the US, we can, go to different doctors and kind of ask them to refer us out to a different doctor. So maybe it's that you need to see a more specialized doctor than just a primary care doctor. Okay. Anonymous, I am doing a metabolic confusion experiment. I found I needed to add hella carbs to my nutrition. The last 3 days, I added a considerable amount while keeping my protein pretty normal. Today, I'm so sluggish and put on 1 pound. Is this normal when adding complex carbs? Also, today, we'll start my 3 day protein heavy days, and then I will go back to 3 day carb heavy days. Everything about my lifestyles has stayed the same as far as exercise, water, sleep, etc. Okay, so I have heard of this type of what you're talking about. I don't know a tremendous amount about it, but I do know that when you, and I even talked about it, I think last week, when you kind of don't have the carbs, and then you add back in the carbs, your body's going to have to, even if it's 3 days, even if you're going high protein, lower carbs, and then lower protein, higher carbs, your body's going to adjust. And with carbohydrates, specifically, water weight is a thing because the carbs are going to kind of make you hold on to more water on the days that you're eating even if they're complex carbs, they may kind of do that, trying to kind of adjust things out because you weren't giving them to it before. So it makes sense to me that your weight may kind of bump up and down based on that. When I was lower carb, and if I would go and add carbs to it, the scale kind of would bump up for a little bit because your body's just trying to get used to it again, used to the carbs and all that. But I would say kind of experiment with it and see. You're already doing complex carbs, which I would definitely say that that's a better choice. Remember, that's like our 80%. But see what it looks like and see and when you're doing this, like what overall result do you want? I think that's a huge thing to know. And is this getting you to that result? If it's not, switch some stuff up. I understand like the metabolic confusion is like the concept is if you eat the same thing over and over and over, your body just learns how to burn that. And when you throw these different things at it, it may ramp up your metabolism and stuff like that and getting you losing weight. I understand that part. I just don't know if that works for everybody, is what I'm saying. But good question. I was on HRT for 10 years until it became unavailable in 2020. I was forced to go off the medication cold turkey. I was recently diagnosed with osteopenia, wanting to go back on HRT. What kind of doctor should I see about this? I'm 65 with excellent cardiac health and no history of reproductive or breast cancer on either side of my family. Okay. Good question. And I was right there with you probably 3 years ago because I knew something was going on. They were like, you're too young to be in menopause. And I have a great primary care physician, but I was like, listen, something needs to be done. So I would start with your primary care physician and just say, listen, I need you to refer me to someone who you know, either a colleague or if you know someone that does specifically hormones. Most of the time, they will know. So if your primary care physician doesn't know, maybe ask your gynecologist because they're just in the same loop. And there's more and more menopause doctors out there now than there were before. If you can't find anyone, if you're like, there's not one, there are also ones online. There's Alloy Health, Midi Health. There's a lot of different online places that can evaluate you. And just because it's online doesn't mean that they're not getting lab work. That, just because you don't see them face to face doesn't mean that they're not taking care of you. They normally will check in. And if you have any type of problem, you can do that as well. But I would start by getting a referral and then go to the more specialized doctor. And there are now hormone specialists and menopause doctors, okay? So don't give up. Keep pushing and advocating for yourself because there are doctors out there that can help you, okay? And the fact that you don't have, the zero calcium score, your cardiac health is good, and no history of cancer, those are the two main contraindications. So you're good on those. Okay. All right. I was on the generic Contrave for a year and it did nothing for me. Do you have any idea why that would be? That I can't kind of answer that fully until sometimes drugs just don't work. Like it's not everybody is different, and sometimes we don't necessarily get weight loss with them for whatever reason. Sometimes the bupropion, that's bupropion and naltrexone. Some of those work beautiful in patients, and then sometimes they just don't. I wouldn't say you did anything wrong. It's just that that combination didn't work for you. I've seen Contrave work for a lot of people, and then I've seen a lot of people that it just made them feel weird, or they were nauseous a lot, and it just didn't work for them. So I would go back to the doctor and say, listen, I don't think this is working for me. What's the next step? What can I try next? And then just go from there. But don't beat yourself up that didn't work for you, because sometimes drugs just don't work. Just like if I would say if it was a blood pressure medication and you took it and your blood pressure wasn't coming down, the first thing the doctor, you would ask the doctor what's going on, and they would probably prescribe something different. This is no different just because it has to do with weight, okay? So get back in touch with your doctor and make sure that, they offer you something else, or at least recommend something that you can do instead. You are more than welcome. All right, guys, that is drawing us to a close. Again, I appreciate this time with you all. This has been wonderful. I have thoroughly enjoyed answering all your questions. Know that I am not going anywhere. MJ will be back next week, and I know we've missed her, and I'm so glad to have her back too, because I listen to her calls on replay as well. MJ has not gone anywhere. I saw someone posted in Facebook. She is still here, and she will be back with you next week. I will miss y'all, but know that I will be in Ask Coaches. You can reply to any email sent to you and tag me. I am in Facebook. And no, this is not ending. This is the beginning to healthify. This is the beginning. Thank you, Mary. This is the beginning to becoming a well-fed woman. I am so proud of each and every one of you because it has been amazing watching y'all's journeys. And now we are just going to start leveling up and watching the scale go down, because when we are well-fed, it makes a tremendous, tremendous difference, as y'all have seen this month. So let's keep going. We are going to healthify our way all the way through to 2026 and continuing on. But I am honored to have been able to be here with y'all and answer your questions, and know that you can hit me up and ask coaches or anything else. someone said, MJ's doing the start again. Yes, she is doing the start again. And that is a wonderful program. And I would say go to start when you feel like you just need a reset or you're stuck. Go to the start course. I think that that's a great place to go if you've already taken the No BS weight loss course. But I hope you guys have a great, oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Of each and every one of you, you are well-fed women now. You are healthifying in ways that you probably never thought you could, but you are doing it. We're going to level it up. We're going to use the 80-20 rule, good, better, best, and just look down at your plate. Four questions. Where's the protein? Where's the carb? Where's the fat? And do I have three colors? Easy as that. That is what a well-fed woman does. So, see y'all around. You take care and have a great rest of your week. Take care.